Welcome to the Mama Mudra podcast, where the future of wellness is happiness. I'm Kate Thompson-Duvet. I'm an entrepreneur, a mother of three, a very happy wife, a lifelong creative, and someone who has spent years chasing success, only to realize that the real success I was missing was peace. Mama Mudra was born because I saw a gap between the glossy world of wellness and the messy reality most of us live in. Full of children, careers, expectations, responsibility, and this very human craving to feel good in our own skin. This podcast, this platform, these events, the studio that I sit in right now, these are my love letter to anyone who wants to redefine success as vitality, connection, and calm.
Okay, today's conversation is one that I've been so excited to record. It's with someone who is very special to me and is a huge part of this journey with Mama Mudra and especially with Sunshine People, just because her guidance in the movement space has been one of the most profound things for me on my journey to finding happiness through wellness. It's all about using physical motion to unlock emotion. And I've never really experienced anyone that does it as well as this woman does. And if you've taken one of Shanae's classes, you'll understand what I mean. I'm speaking with Shanae Dumas. She's the founder of One Flow. She is an incredibly talented movement practitioner. And as I said, if you've taken one of her classes, you know, it's an experience. People cry. People feel elated. You can see the emotion on their faces. And it's about so much more than just physical movement. It really is something that is very intentionally, I would imagine, guided by her music and her cues and her sequencing and, you know, the space and the people around you. But it really is one of those experiences that feel like, I mean, I've said to her myself after many classes, like, how did you know? Because it feels like she gives you on that day what it is that you need on that day. And so I really want to explore with her, you know, is this luck? Is it completely accidental? I'm pretty sure it's not. But how does she have this level of intuition to understand what it is to give her class? And the classes aren't small, you know, to give that number of people exactly what they need, and how her understanding of how the body holds emotion leads her to sequence these classes that allow us to release that emotion that needs to be released. Because obviously, in order to find our pathway to happiness, we also need to sometimes release some stored emotion, whether that's negative or positive, to make way to kind of, you know, move up to the next level of joy. And then I also want to discuss what is happening in the physical and emotional and nervous systems when that process takes place, because I find that fascinating. And I think it's incredibly profound when at the end of a movement class, this emotion just comes out of you, whether or not you want it to. A lot of the time you try and hold it back and you really can't. So there's something very strong and I would imagine potentially very powerful that we can talk about there in order to use it ourselves. And then lastly, I want to just discuss with Shanae how she found her way into this work. She, to my mind, is the embodiment of someone that's found their true calling. And it's a beautiful thing to see. So, you know, what was that journey like for her to get to this place? And then also, how can we use all of these incredible tools that she has in her toolbox to really bring an event like Sunshine People, which I'm so grateful that she's a huge part of and guides all the movement for, you know, how can we use all of these tools to make Sunshine People a really effective tool and not just a beautiful experience? So welcome, Shanae.
Thank you. That's a lot to stand up to. I'm very grateful, Kate. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So like I say, I wanted to start off with kind of how you do what it is that you do, you know, having experienced your classes most days personally, and for a long time, even before One Flow, you know, like I know that you do just have this innate ability, and it's so powerful to me that, you know, a lot of the time I can even arrive in class thinking that I know how I'm feeling, and I'm feeling totally different by the end of that class. And I didn't even realize that I had an emotional release needed in me, but something happens, and it is that sort of the whole combination of the movement cues, the music, you, your presence, the community, the space, the heat, all of these things. Like, how do you do that? And how intentional is it? And, you know, is it you sort of instigating that, or is it really more about the person that arrives on their mat?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question to answer, but I mean, I'll speak from obviously my experience and in the moment. For me, it kind of feels like it all boils down to like just one kind of really simple thing. And then from that simple thing, the layers start to build. And it's the ability to make people feel safe in the room. So I don't know. I mean, you probably know this. You're a mom. And I'm often reminded, like, my children go somewhere and everyone's like, oh, they're so good. And I'm like, what? No, they're not. Like, they're little crazy kids running around. And it is in that moment that I remember that as a parent, as a mom, we are going to see the worst part of our kids, like worst acting out trauma, you know, tantrums, all that stuff, and the best part of our children. And the why behind that is because they feel the safest with us. And so I think really being, number one, like being a mom has really like stretched my window of tolerance. Like, you know, always being like, okay, deep breath. You can do this, Shanae. To hold space for them to have their experience. And then kind of with that lens to like make them feel safe, to be sad, to be happy, to have a moment where they don't even really know what's going on, but just to like be present for that moment. So, you know, take that scenario, move it into the room where we're guiding bodies, I'm guiding bodies, the team's guiding bodies. It starts with when people step foot into the studio. You know what, like, I know I can do it better still. And it's like, you know, connecting with people, getting to know people, knowing their names, understanding a part of their journey, following them on, you know, social media platforms, understanding what's happening in their world, being interested in the people who are showing up. Then that gives you a bit of a snapshot into what's happening, whether it's conscious or subconscious. I think it's both. And then stepping into the room, and there's that intentional pause. The space is immersive, which helps people connect to themselves versus like a space that's quite reflective. Mm-hmm. I think like we've done a really great job at OneFlow to have the space feel like a hug. Mm-hmm. We use immersive lighting so that you can come home, you can come inwards. And then it's about, I think, the next layer on top of that. So there's the safety piece, the space, the environment supported. And then the part after that is to be prepared to go there yourself. Mm. So there are, I mean, where are we today? Like it's early in the week. It's Tuesday. I taught a class last night and there was a moment in the class where like everything, it was towards the end of the class, everything came down and I remembered being a practitioner and I remembered like the end of the class and I remember myself stretching in a class many years ago, but just that moment of coming back and I was like, oh, I know what this feels like. And if I can connect to a part of me that knows what it feels like, then I can offer that same opportunity, a gateway, by a phrase like, I don't want to tell you how to feel, but I do want to invite you to feel. And so that's the empathy practice, where I'm not telling you, I'm not like imposing something onto you, but I'm saying like, hey, there's a moment here where if I can feel it, there's a pretty good chance that you can feel it too. So it's a softer energy. It's a vulnerable energy. Mm. And like sometimes it's a very scary place to be because, and I will get to this later on, but there was a moment facilitating at Sunshine People where I really had to ground because there was an emotional piece within me that was coming up and I have to be prepared to go there, feel safe enough to go there, be willing to go there in order to hold the container for others.
Mm. It's so amazing. I think that the thing that you said as well now about the community, and I've also discussed this with you before, because for the type of person that I am, I'm as outgoing as I am, I'm quite private, and I'm always used to going to sort of a yoga studio where you kind of like, hello, you know, sort of quick eye contact, put your mat down, go straight into your space, and it's just about you. And OneFlow is so community driven, but not in like a way that's too much. It feels so supportive, like you said, like a hug. It just feels like, you know, if you choose to look up, there are going to be people making eye contact, giving you a hug if you want a hug. Mm. You know, and I think that that also makes a big difference. And this is quite pertinent to Sunshine People. It makes a big difference to feeling more, because you're more in your overall body and your emotions than you are just in your physical body, because you feel like you're in a space of comfort, not just from you. I think you are an integral part of it, but I think it's also the fact that, you know, there are all these familiar faces, and it's very special. And I think I find it so interesting, because, and that was a big part of kind of what I wanted to achieve with this journey that I'm on and still hope to achieve, is that people see these things as so separate. They see, you know, trauma and emotion and all these things as something that you treat with therapy.
Mm.
You know, weight or bad health or weak fitness or whatever is something you treat with exercise. You know, it's kind of like these things are all so separated, and they're so not.
Yeah.
You know, and it can be done in such an interwoven way, almost subconsciously, you know, and it's such a powerful thing. I really do think that it's very interesting. I was wondering as well, you know, I'm sure you do know, but you know, you've kind of said that it obviously is something that you don't necessarily aggressively work towards, but you just facilitate, you create the environment for people to release emotionally through a physical practice. But what exactly is it that, like, what is that process that's happening within us, like I said earlier, where you kind of, you don't even know that you need to release something, and all of a sudden, at the end of the class, I mean, my friend Claudia, who you know as well, it's like, if we don't end a class shedding a few tears in Shavasana, like, it's unusual these days. You know,
100%,
it's pretty much every single class, and I don't feel like there's been sort of a particular catalyst to that. There have been times in my life, for sure, that I've known that because of what I'm going through, you know, it's going to unlock emotion. But then there's sometimes that you really don't think that there's emotion that needs to be unlocked, and you still get there. What is that, do you think, that's happening? Is it just a general sort of everything is being brought down, or?
So we know that the way, so we're constantly working through like regulation and dysregulation, right? So keep that on one side. And then we hold all of our life experiences in this beautiful body that we have.
Yeah.
And a lot of, and then we're constantly taking on new information.
Mm.
And for a lot of us, because I think the world is so programmed, especially now, to always be on, or like go, that there isn't this integration that happens, or there isn't like really time for integration.
Yes.
And when we get off our devices and we create the space to actually just not be in communication with others, to be in communication with ourselves, that is where the integration piece comes in. It's whether it's a healing that needs to happen, whether it's a digestion of a conversation, whether it's, I often actually get a lot of creative ideas while I'm teaching for like other things. And it's because it's a space where there's nothing else that's calling for your attention. It's an invitation to come home to yourself. So you've got that, which allows that. And then a lot of the people in the team, but especially me, I'm consciously working this like regulation exercises. I'm intentionally dysregulating and then I'm intentionally regulating. So there's a load and there's an offload and there's a load and there's an offload. And the load is to stretch your nervous system, to broaden your window of tolerance, to be able to handle all of life's stuff. And when you can do that in the room, on your mat, And then 5 seconds later or 10 seconds later, you're in a offload moment, so regulated. It feels so much better just because of the nature of you having stretched to the other side. So in a lot of the classes, like, I'm working that tool all the time. Like, I want to challenge your nervous system, trigger your nervous system intentionally, and then I'm going to be there to hold the other part as well. So, and whether it's a sauna journey that I'm doing, I mean, I do it a lot in sauna journeys, a power yoga class, even like our Pilates flow class that uses a fascia ball as a way to like process trauma, process information that our physical body holds. Everything that I feel like everything that I've designed for One Flow has been to create a deeper relationship with yourself so that you can do relationship with others in an intentional way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%. And I feel it completely. I really do. There is something unique about the One Flow experience. And I'm not just saying that because you're here.
Sure.
But there really is something. And I've been, you know, doing yoga for 35 years. I mean, you know, like I really have experienced a lot of studios around the world. And there is something. It does feel more sort of cohesive and more considered than just a physical practice. And that always used to be what attracted me to Ashtanga. I was an Ashtangi for years because of the repetition.
Mm.
It would get me out of my mind and just into my body because I wasn't thinking about it. And that's also, we had this discussion why I like a led class and not, I don't like to do a Mysore practice or something like that because I don't want to be thinking.
Yes.
But it feels like at One Flow that is very intentional. The sort of trick of getting us out of our heads and even getting us out of the, you know, the sort of the performative nature of yoga. You know, not everything is facing the mirror. Not everything is about, like, are you hitting that perfect pose? Are you in the fullest expression of that pose? You know, which I think is really important. And all of which kind of leads me to, as I said in the intro, it really feels like you are, and I hope that I'm right and you're not going to turn around and be like, actually, no, this isn't what I want to do, because that'll throw me. But it really feels like you are exactly, like, doing exactly what it is that you were put here to do. Like, it feels so effortless, and it feels so, you know, I've seen you in moments of, you know, with very little notice, need to sort of step in for someone in a class, or, you know, take over teaching something that you weren't meant to teach, or and really there is no moment at which you're like, oh my God, no, I'm not prepared, I'm not. It just happens. And also the sheer volume of classes that you teach, how every single one is just a new experience, and there may be some physical sequences that are similar to others, but everything else, the verbal cues, the music, everything is just so unique and feels so natural. It doesn't feel like it's either rehearsed or, you know, like you're thinking. It genuinely feels like it's just happening in the moment. So how, like, firstly, is that your experience as well? And secondly, how did you get there? Because I know that you've had quite a few other lives and careers before you've landed up here. And did you know, like, when you got here, were you all of a sudden like, okay, cool, this is it?
Okay, so I'm going to answer the last part of your question first, and we can circle back to the beginning. But it's so interesting. So, you know, when you're like at school and you do those career tests of like, what are you going to be when you're a big person, kind of thing? And I remember the answers on all of those, like, Myers-Briggs stuff was always a teacher. And in my head, I was like, okay, that means I'm going to be a school teacher. Yeah. I'm going to be at school and I'm going to be teaching kids. Because, like, that's kind of like, just was like, okay, cool. That's what a teacher is. Yeah. Exactly. And then it wasn't until, I mean, I didn't study teaching. It wasn't until like a couple years later, I was working in retail. I was a manager of a store and kind of like decided I'm going to go do a yoga class. I'd always come from a physical background. I played competitive sports. I played provincial squash, SA squash, SA junior, Springbok junior, all that stuff. So I come from a physical background, but I also like to be challenged, which is why yoga didn't sound like a good idea to me until I tried it. So I did, you know, stepped into my first class and I was like, wow, this is super challenging. Loved every part of it. So I started to practice more regularly, and then I actually moved to Joburg for about 7-8 months, and I was like trying to find the same style of yoga that I was doing in Cape Town there, and I couldn't. And so I started to do all these other styles of yoga, whatever I had access to, and I also fell in love with them. And I was doing Ashtanga, I was doing Jivamukti, I was doing Acro, I was anything I could get my hands on, I was doing. And no matter what I did, I loved. And I was like, whoa, this is information for me. And so then I was like, I came back to Cape Town, immediately did my teacher training. I was too scared to teach initially. So like I did a little pop-up on the prom, and that's, I like taught some people that came. I was like 50 rand class. I like just put some bunting up, had some mats, and I just got some reps under my belt. And then I started to teach in studio. Mm. But like honestly, Kate, like you're exactly right. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. Mm. But I knew from the tests that I had to be a teacher. Yeah. The penny dropped that I was actually in my calling, in my purpose, probably about maybe 7 or 8, maybe about 5-6 years ago, when I was like, oh, I'm actually doing what I was meant to do. At the time, I was also doing a couple of other things at the same time, but it was only until OneFlow where this was like my soul, you know, this is what I do, this is who I am. And it's been a beautiful journey, and it does feel effortless. Like it never feels difficult to show up. If like I get excited to show up. Sometimes like I'm tired, but I'm never too tired to teach. Mm. I'm never like, there's not this like, oh, do I really? It's never that. Like today, I didn't have a lot of people in my class. I had 4 people in my class, which is a quiet class considering. Yeah. And there was like a moment where I was like checking in with myself, and then I was like, wow, like I get to touch the lives of 4 beautiful people. Mm. And toward like we did a cool little flow, and then I was like, hey, we're just gonna get creative here. I was like, let's throw the mats away. And we did this like animal flow on the floor, because I was like figuring out, I was like, people are like so rigid in this moment. We need to be rigid. Mm. And I think it's, again, coming back to that feeling of like being so connected to the bodies in the room that you can throw the rule book out. Mm. I was like, we don't need mats. This whole room is a mat. We're going to move. We're going to flow. It's going to get messy. We're going to have fun. We're going to like find joy. Amazing. And it's about being brave enough to do that. Mm. And I think until I had my own studio, it felt like I had to follow a rule book of like, this class is this and this class is this. And now I'm like, the rule book is, we're going to move, we're going to breathe, and we're going to create beautiful experiences as a collective.
Yeah, I love that. It's a beautiful thing to witness. It really is. Because I feel like I've seen you, you know, having said at the beginning that obviously I've been at OneFlow pretty much every day since before it opened and never planned to go anywhere else. But even from previous studios training and practicing with you, it does feel like, and I've had this conversation with other people as well, you know, it does feel like you've just grown into exactly who and where and what you're supposed to be. And it's such an incredible thing to see how everything else, you know, around that is just benefited so exponentially from that feeling of you just embodying your space. You know, it's amazing. I think that, and something as well that we're trying to, you know, achieve here is, so many people have this awfully complicated and complex relationship with movement. Like, I think that those of us that are lucky enough to have had it in their lives forever, it's different. But, you know, I often have the conversation or the concern with regards to my kids, because, you know, a lot of the time I don't find that schools these days have as much of a focus on sport as they used to, at least when I was at school. You know, it was, you absolutely had to compete, and it was, I think, one of the most important parts of my school career, and not just for the physical aspect. You know, I think competing in a team sport teaches you so many things about life that you can take with you after school, a lot more probably than a lot of the academic learnings that you get at school, but that's a different podcast subject.
Topic for another day.
Exactly, because I feel strongly about that one. But a lot of people, I think that, you know, haven't grown up with that. They see movement as like a punishment. It's not, and you can even see it when they're moving, that they are so not in tune with their body, and they're kind of, you know, they're just sort of mirroring what they see that they think they should be doing, but the mirror reflection is so off, and you can see that there's just no connection. Like, how do you try to shift people from movement seeming, again, more performative and more rigid than more just innate and intuitive and beautiful? Because I feel like that's, again, you know, like if what we're looking for is the ultimate benefit of moving your body, you're never going to get that if you're not in complete connection with your mind and your body, you know. And also, even just to the extent of, if you're not doing yoga, if you're doing weight training, if you're not connecting to the muscle that you need to be working, it's not going to be working to the same extent.
100%.
Like, how do you try and move those people that you see arrive in the class and they're completely either about what they look like or about just not knowing how to move their bodies toward it becoming something really enjoyable and beautiful?
Yeah, look, I think it's so tough. You know, you get the people who are like, they know they, like, it feels like it's prescribed to them, right? Mm. And like, we know as soon as you get told you must do X, Y, Z, A, B, C, like, as soon as anyone tells me what to do, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. There's zero possibility.
Yeah.
So you got to have the buy-in. There's got to be a desire to do this thing.
Mm.
And I think, like, when you have the desire, then you're an easy candidate to work with. So let's say, like, opt in, people want, there's the desire. Then it comes down to being able to guide multiple different levels in the room at the same time. So let's think about Sunshine People, right? The event that we did in Stanley. It's like, I think we had 18 years old.
Yes.
To
we had 16.
16. Yes, okay. Yeah. 16 to 80.
Yeah.
Like, that was the...
Absolutely.
That was the range of people. And there was a physio that came to me afterwards, and she said to me, and she was like, hey, I just want to say, I don't know how you did it, but you got everybody of all levels, like, moving together seamlessly. But if you think about how we structured that session, it was super, super intentional.
Yes.
Like, we didn't know what kind of level of people were going to be there.
Yeah.
For me, it's very important that people leave feeling successful.
Mm.
So I tried to do some market research before, and I was like, hey, where are you from? What are you doing? Yeah. Like, try to get, like, gauge of where people were. And I realized, like, okay, I've got very, very mixed bag, and probably more information is not a good idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, we start off and we set the foundation really solid.
Mm.
We start off with those six primary movements, and that immediately gave people a sense of safety.
Mm.
So coming back to the very first thing we said, it's like, to feel safe that, okay, these are, like, we're going to work in the six primary ways, a push, a pull, a squat, a lunge, a twist, and a hinge. We never deviated from that at any point.
Yeah.
And then it was the reminder of the language.
Mm.
So broke it down, like, the music was low in the beginning, and there was this, it was intentional that it landed, like, that those six movement patterns landed. And then when you take away the word exercise, people already have a better relationship with it. So movement pattern, you've done this your whole life. When you sit on your chair, that's a squat. When you're walking, that's a version of a lunge. When you're picking up your keys or your phone, that's a hinge. When you're pressing the door open on a push door, that's a push. When you're pulling the fridge open, that's a pull. I think reframing things in ways that, like, make it actually, oh, I've been doing this anyway. If you create more familiarity. Familiarity is safety in your nervous system. We love safety. Our nervous system craves a pattern that is the same. So that pre-patterning was very intentional, very deliberate, so that then as we layered on top of that, I kept that same movement pattern going. And it was then, and I used the same cues from the beginning when we started to build it up into something that was like more consistent. Yeah. And I was like, this is a hinge. Reminder, you've already done this.
Yes.
This is a squat. We did this, you know, this is a version of walking. It's called a lunge. Mm. So I think when you can take away all the fluff of like, it needs to be a particular way and be open around like what it could be, what it can be, everyone can have a very successful experience, which I truly believe we had on, you know, when we did Sunny Island for Sunshine People, and it was incredible.
Mm. Agreed.
So I feel like I deviated the question, but like it was just a great application to answer.
But that's exactly right, because it's about that success. Like you say, you want people to leave feeling successful, not necessarily physically tortured, you know, because as soon as you leave a class feeling like I did that, you're more likely to come back.
100%.
You know, as opposed to I felt completely clumsy and awkward and I hated every minute of that. You're never going back to that.
Yeah.
You know? And that is the journey. And that also does lead nicely, you're using Sunshine People as a case study, because the next question that I wanted to ask was about the event and how, you know, it wasn't a social experiment, because obviously we kind of, you know, we certainly didn't go in with zero preparation. It was very intentional, everything that was done on the day. But it was an experiment in the regard that it was the first one that we'd done, the first of many, I hope. But also, you know, the fact that we had curated a program that was quite different to anything certainly that I've experienced, and all with that level of success and joy as the goal in mind from start to finish. And I really thought that the energy, I mean, beside the fact that I was so emotionally moved and cried my eyes out in the speech at the end, it was so, the energy was so tangible. And, you know, like it really, really was from the beginning, but especially at the end, once everyone had gone through the program. And I was wondering what your experience as a facilitator was, because obviously mine was very emotionally connected, having come up with the concept and, you know, worked long hours and stressed so much about, you know, what if no one arrives? What if all the ice melts? What if this? What if that? You know, and all of the million things that I worried about every day up until the actual event. Like, from your perspective as a facilitator and also knowing so much, you know, as much as you do about this world and of teaching, what did you see and experience on the day, last week on Stanley Island? And sort of, you know, was there anything else that you saw and experienced that I potentially didn't?
Like, I spoke to a lot of people afterwards, and I'm not even joking. Like, we spoke about happiness a lot, but people were like, I'm so happy. So many people just said that. And it wasn't like, I didn't go, are you happy?
Yes.
I was like, hey, how's it going? Wow. I'm so happy.
Wow.
So there was like, and it kind of like caught me off guard. Mm. And I was like, interesting. So that was kind of like, okay, this is some good
information.
Something's
working, yeah.
But I think the other thing was just seeing, you're so right, like the energy was so tangible. Mm. And I think from like the way that Matt led the start, and it also felt very connected. All the pieces felt like they threaded through. So from a facilitator, like I want to be listening in on what else is happening around me so that I can give the clients
like a connected experience.
An experience that makes sense. So because a lot of the time, like, we get all this beautiful information, we don't always know what to do with it.
Mm.
Or like, you get it for 10 minutes and you're like invested in it for 10, 20, 30 minutes. And then the next part comes and you like kind of like, oh, buy this piece, hire this piece. So I think that also made it difference.
It's like with your sequencing, you're saying, you know, you're literally building on
exactly
one movement, and then it's
I'm like
of,
building the same house.
Yeah.
So it was important for me to like pay attention to what Matt was offering and then consciously keep that connection, keep that golden thread weaving throughout. So it was like neuroceptors in your brain. Okay, we have nerve endings on your hands, like dense as well as the soles of your feet.
Mm.
And I was like, I can't make people connect their feet to one another, that doesn't work. But there's moments where, like, we did, you know, hand connection, because that also, like, that threads us all together. So there, and then, like, understanding, you know, the different types of brain types, what works, the movement pieces that we chose, which we discussed obviously prior, were intentionally put together to support all different brain types. So it was considered from that perspective, which I think made it so unique versus, like, programs that are so densely populated with multiple different things that aren't,
it's almost too much.
So I loved that part about it as a facilitator, because it really felt conscious and intentional. And then, like, the handover from myself to Kylie was, like, so seamless.
Perfect,
it was like perfect. And, like, Kylie and I work together often, so it's like it really is seamless. And then, you know, it just keeps going. There's this continuity that is felt, and you can't teach it. It happens through, like, with effort, with intention, and you have to be prepared to, like, invest the time in how do I support the client experience. Like, at OneFlow, that's the hat that I wear, is I'm like, how can the clients have a better experience at OneFlow? And I know there's a lot of things we can do, and there's always things we're working on, but that's the same hat that I wore with, you know, when facilitated on Stanley. It's the same thing.
And I think that that's only going to get better because we've made the decision to keep the same team. So I think that's also going to be such an integral part of the Sunshine People experience, that the more we work together, the more we do these things, and especially in different iterations, you know, some are going to be shorter, some are going to be retreats, some are going to be, you know, whatever it is, it's going to become even more seamless and even more intuitive. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's really going to enhance the experience even more, which I love. You know, the thing that I love so much about working with you, and it was to do with the playlist we discussed.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
We want to make it a marketing tool, and which we're going to, and I haven't yet released it, but we're going to this week. You know, was when I said to you, can we add your facilitator playlist to the Sunshine People playlist? And you were like, of course, you know, everything that you do is with the intention of, you know, giving it, putting it out there, giving it 100% away effectively. And I want the same thing to happen with that tangible energy and feeling that people experienced at the event. So something that I'm really thinking a lot about, and I don't have the answers, and the conversation that I had with Sean about using music to evoke emotion, and the conversation I'm having with you about using physical motion to evoke emotion, those are all clues. But, like, how do you think there would be a way for us to impart people with, I don't know, like a trick, a toolkit, a card, a something, so that not only are they coming to Sunshine People and experiencing this incredible level of magic and feeling and connectivity and community, but taking that away with them, you know, even the same as at OneFlow. Like, you know, if I'm having a moment at the end of the class, and it's so powerful, but, you know, let's be honest, you don't always have the time to lie in Shavasana and have a good cry. Sometimes you've got to get to a meeting and you've actually got to suck it up and, you know, get out of there and have a shower and get dressed and get to your meeting and act like a big girl, you know. But, like, how can you take that with you? And I've had this thought quite often in yoga classes, like, I want to tap back into this, but later, you know. This is not a convenient time. I'd like to keep this for, like, 7 p.m. tonight after the kids are down, and then I'd like to get into it, you know. But, like, how do you, like, are there ways do you think that we could literally bottle that and kind of hand it to people when they leave and be like, here you go. When you need this, you know, open it and have a little smell, or, you know, rub it on your wrists, or I don't know. Like,
it's such a great question. And it's, I mean, some of the things that kind of just popping up for me as you were chatting is, you know, I think, and I do this a lot with sauna journeys, but you can apply it ultimately to any experience, is it's like, anchor in a word of what it is that, you know, anchor in this moment. Give it a name. We know that when we name experiences, it creates a neural pathway in the brain. That is how we learn. That is how we understand our own emotions, our own environment. So if there's, like, a word at the end of your class and it's it's an emotional moment or whatever it is. It could be joy, it could be challenge, it could be expansion, it could be transformation. But if you can anchor in that word that encapsulates this moment and all the moments that you kind of want to bottle, and then keep that word with you. And when you're ready to come back, so I think it is through facilitation. Yeah. I think it is through like offering up that moment of like asking people to anchor it in.
Yes.
And then tonight or whenever you're ready again, you can say, hey, like invite the word back in.
Yeah.
Be in a quiet place where you can allow yourself to experience. Come back to the part of the playlist that you heard because music evokes memory.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, you can almost transport yourself back into that moment. That song was playing. That was the word. That was the feeling. And that then you can integrate and go back to whatever it is that needs.
And communication as well, you know, like explaining why it is that you're doing what you're doing.
Yes.
And encouraging them, you know, we used obviously the notebooks and, you know, like making notes throughout the day. And maybe it is even that sort of ongoing communication to say, you know, review the notes, go back to the moment, think about how you felt. Because it is, I think we're all so good at, you know, even when you're forced to unlock and release, we're so good at bottling that back up again afterwards, you know, like I said just now, because we don't have the time. So it's just like, okay, cool. That was lovely. But, you know, come,
later.
You know, back to real life now, you know, don't have time to sit here and just be an emotional wreck. And it's very interesting. And it's very important, I think, for me to try and communicate that with people that not only are we creating a moment then, but it needs to be an ongoing moment, you know. I think it's important, for regulation and all of that.
Because even at the end of the session was like, you know, we said, like, think about the day, the moments of this day that evoked, like, what is your recipe for happiness?
Yes.
And there's definitely an opportunity to have, like, doubled down on that process then for integration and to come back to. So that's a good learning for us.
Absolutely, 100%. So last question.
Yes.
How do you recommend that people who are feeling emotionally blocked and just, you know, sort of stuck in a rut, and especially I think it's a good question for this time of the year, you know, everyone talks about new beginnings, new year, you know, we've left everything behind last year and everything's fresh. That's not really true for everyone. You know, a lot of the time you didn't get around to releasing everything. So for some of us who are lucky enough to feel fresh and new and clean slate, that's wonderful. But most people, I don't think, you know, do. And, and there's so much pressure too. Like, how do you recommend that people who are feeling like they're stuck in that rut, how can they use physical movement to try and unlock stuck trauma and stored emotion? Because, you know, again, I think a lot of the time we can get into our heads and you can just see physical motion and training as just that. I'm just going to go and train because I want to get in shape. I want to lose weight that I picked up over December, whatever. Like, you know, is there a way, is it maybe just being more intentional with your movement to tap into encouraging it to let go of that stuck trauma and emotion and using it as more of a tool than just getting your body in shape?
Yeah, I think it is such a, like, there's like a high expectation, this is a very high expectation time of the year, right?
Yes.
Where, and it's a lot, and there's a lot of pressure around that, which I don't think serves, actually. And for a lot of the time, I spoke towards the beginning of the year, I spoke a lot about, like, you know, everyone starts it off and it's like you set big goals and there's big things. And like, I think the perspective shift on that is that instead of having these like massive things, like what if you just decided today? So start off with gratitude because that's a really good place to like fall in love with yourself, fall in love with your world. Appreciate those things around you. It immediately like raises your serotonin. You've got good hormones in flow. And then from there, the next thing is, okay, so now I'm like feeling elevated. how can I be the best version of myself today in whatever I choose to do? It doesn't have to be movement, but if it is movement, and if I'm going to decide to go for a walk, make it to a class, meet up with a friend, how can I be the best version of myself today? And that's a really good place to start. It's just like one little baby bite at a time. That's how you create a new habit. That's how you create a new pattern. Start to repeat that over 21 days, 30 days, 40 days, and you've created a new rhythm. So I think it starts off with gratitude, intentional choice to be the best version of yourself. The things that scare you, deal with them first. And then lean on the people around you to be your support and to hold, like, if you need accountability, know what you need, ask for what you need. Like, if you're on, like, I'm doing a fast at the moment, I'm on day two of my fast, and I like try to enroll Cam to fast with me. He said no. But I said to him, listen, like, I'm gonna need you, like, will you help me? He said, sure, I'll help you. I won't eat around you. Yeah. I'll make sure, like, you have all the liquids you need. And I was like, okay. So, like, get people around you who support your vision and your goals, and don't, like, question you around them, or don't put you down for whatever you want to do. Like, they are your people. So, yeah, I hope I answered the question. I think I did.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Thank you so much for being here today. Honestly, it's so, like, it's a conversation that I've been looking forward to for so long, because I think that there is so much insight that you have to give, even though I still believe that a lot of it is just intuitive, because you are living your complete and utter truth. And I think when you find yourself there, it does just unlock a whole new sort of level of wisdom, and, you know, and just, it just flows. But I really think that it's such a good reminder that, and for anyone listening that hasn't experienced it, I really encourage you to try and find that form of movement that allows you to experience it, because it's such a reminder to me that physical movement is about so much more than physical movement. 100%. And it's just crazy how powerful it is. And it's so, it's so beneficial in so many ways, that I think that if you just allow yourself the time to kind of listen to your body and feel what it is, like we were doing at Sunshine People, feel what it is that resonates most with you, that you can want, that you want to keep on repeating it over and over again, you're going to get so many more benefits from it than just the physical. So yeah, I think that this needs to be, if anyone's listening, take it as an invitation, take it as a sign, take it as whatever you want to try and find that form of movement that just makes you crave it every single day, and or three times a week, whatever works for you, in order to start really having it become a part of your life, and then allowing it to assist emotionally, mentally, on every single other level than just physical. Because I think when you get to that point, it's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just also to bolt onto that, it's like, pick one thing you love doing, and then just like add another thing that feels a little bit sticky.
Yes.
And like, if you love listening to music, go for a walk and listen to music. If you love walking your dog, like, what if you went for a little jog with your dog? So it's like, there's so many ways to actually, like, just take what you already love doing that makes you already happy, and add a part that can elevate the experience in some movement form or another. Yes. It doesn't have to be anything major. One little day at a time.
Totally agreed. Thank you so
much. Such a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kate. I really appreciate it.